And we are live. Welcome to the Afrobus with me, Hope Hajir. Very glad to finally be doing this because today we will be talking about a topic that just is it's a bit much. I don't know if any of you have ever been through anything that makes you ask at what cost at least a couple times a day. So with the way that this year has been, I think I have asked myself at what cost. I maybe about, you know, minimum 100 times a week. You know, I keep it on the low. I try to be a bit economic with how much I ask it. But even with
I'm sorry, 100 per week.
Guys, I have a studio audience member here who is here to keep me company, because what I want to talk about is very close to my heart, because honestly, the struggle is real, you guys. It's like very real. The reason I say that is because, well, on one hand... But it is. Oh my God. And I feel like struggle is like more like you feel it if you like say it in an American accent, like this specific accent, you know, because like I know they have many like accents, but like with this accent, you sound like perpetually inconvenienced, you know. But anyway, so today, before I go a bit into the topic, I'm recording this in the second week of March, I believe. It's the 9th of March as I record this. And right now, what's happening... I want to, like, do something about, like, what's happening in the world versus what's happening in my world. So that if we are both going through the same thing, we can just all just gather, you know? So what's happening in the world? Right now, the buzz is about Meghan Markle and Harry. I really say Harry Styles in my mind. It's not even normal how much I say Harry Styles. What's his name? What's his second name, by the way?
Prince Harry.
But I know him as Prince Harry, but he should have another name. Harry... Harry someone. Okay, so my studio audience member here is googling. We need to give you a name. Can we call you something?
Henry.
Do you want to say your name, studio audience member?
Chris.
So Chris is Chris Jenner.
You're doing amazing,
sorry. Okay, so my studio audience member is called Chris. And so the full name for Harry is Henry Charles Albert David. Okay, he's anything but Harry Styles, but I think it comes close. I think it still counts. So there's that's happening, and the Oprah interview has been making rounds on social media and even in mass media. And with that, I don't know how I feel about it. I'd be curious to know what you guys think. Feel free to always reach out to me on my Instagram at Hope Hajir or at the Afrobus Show. What do you think about it? Because I think on one hand, there's this... Vanderboy was talking about it in one of his interviews, and he was talking about how, like, he was asked by Trevor Noah why Afrobeat is making such a buzz around the world right now, and Burna Boy's response was that Afrobeat is very pure, and it's honestly like the source of a lot of rhythms that we hear from around the world. And the essence of what we were saying is that the truth always circles back to the source. And so when I think about what's happening with Harry and Meghan, all I can think about is what Diana went through from what we perceived, and how when someone is going through something that is speaking towards something that is actually like maybe a violation or something that desperately needs to change about the world order, I feel like it doesn't stop happening. It will happen till... You know, just for emphasis. And I think what happened to Diana has been reincarnated through the life of Harry, of Prince Harry. And I think the reason that's happening is because it's true that the monarchy is just messed up and that they need to clean up their act, and they can only deny it for so long. And so for as long as they don't, you know, it's just going to be messed up. And if Kina Harry and Meghan don't deal with it, then next generations will deal with it. But he's not called Harry Styles. I don't know what that's about, but it's fine. So what's happening in my world? The reason I decided to write, to like talk about this, honestly, what had happened was, I submitted an essay that I might have started one day ago. It was assigned like 2 weeks ago, but in true fashion of any respectable college students, I started it just but a few hours, honestly. Not starting, but like I put everything into it, honestly, a few hours ago. And in terms of that panic-driven productivity, the whole time I was just asking myself, I'm here writing a political science essay. And much as it's something that I'm interested in, it got me thinking that that's actually how the world works. We go through moments which, honestly, the entire time, you'll just be thinking to yourself, man, I hope it's worth it. But I think deep down we all know, half of the time it's probably not worth it. Because we go for what has been assigned to us. We enter inherited compartments and then we try and make it feel like home. But it can never feel like home. And so, honestly, what's happening in my world, that short description is just me saying that I've submitted an essay. It's fine. But anyway, that leads me to the topic of discussion today. The topic of discussion today is, at what cost? Must we now suffer? Must we live like this? Surely is this how we are carrying on? No. And if not, we need to know what our priorities are so that we can know what the cost is. I don't know. I feel like last year with the pandemic starting and now being very, very mid-pandemic, post-pandemic-ish, I think all of us were forced to think about our lives for a strong minute and just consider, okay, this is what we've been working with. Life is going to change. Life as we know it is going to change. And as it changes, what adjustments do we want to make in our lives, you know? And so as that's happening, also you have to ask yourself, okay, what am I willing to give up to gain one other thing? Or what am I willing to gain to give up another thing? And as some of you may know, I also do economics. So honestly, obviously, it's opportunity cost. Like, what do I stand to lose, you know, if I choose to pick another thing? And I think how we see it in life is this energy that I'm spending right now, honestly, at what cost will I spend it? If I spend energy on family, friends, or situations, or things that don't give me as much utility, or they don't provide to me that fulfillment that I know is true to my purpose, then at what cost, you know? So in choosing to take something up, what are we giving up? And I feel like in choosing to take up certain friendships, in choosing to take up certain family, in choosing to take up certain careers or certain love, what are we giving up? I feel like I've just been expelling a lot of energy from my life that I feel I don't need. And the craziest thing about life is you always kind of feel guilty or you feel wrong for being able to make adjustments. And I think it's because, you know, we are creatures of comfort, and a habit, I think, as we know it, is always a disease. So I think with that, I've just been thinking about how important it is to know what costs are there. And I'll give you an example as to why I feel this way and why I wanted to speak on it specifically for the podcast. I think last year and this year, due to a lot of change, we've all had to make a lot of decisions in our life, right? I'm sure you've had to make decisions in your life. And so in choosing to do so, I'm sure you've reached like points of intersection between your old life and your new life, just by virtue of the fact that we are moving from one era to another. So, you know, as a function of society, you're going to move with it. And it, specifically in terms of people, obviously in terms of money, and I swear, honestly, in terms of our purpose, I always find myself asking, at what cost? Let me start with the thing for people. I feel like I've been learning a lot about the importance of certain spheres of where people exist in our lives, you know? So it's like certain levels and certain areas of our lives that people exist as. And I've been talking with Chris here, my student audience member, and we've always kind of talked about how important... First, I said student audience member. Okay, general audience member, of course. We always kind of talk about how important it is to know what you are in someone's life and know who you are in someone else's life. And the reason for that is I used to feel so guilty letting go of people in my life and seeing them become, like, move from family to neighbor, you know? Because I used to be so sad because I feel, okay, I don't know if I'm the only one who goes through this. Maybe Chris can tell us. But I view separation as confrontation, you know? And I can't believe that someone can move from being my day one to, like, maybe 182 over there, you know, once in 365 days. That became very technical. It didn't need to be. It didn't. I don't know why it did, but it is what it is. And so in all that, I always felt like, why do I have to let go of certain friendships? Why do I have to let go of certain people? Does that mean it's over? And I realized not. It's not over. And we usually talk about with Chris how, like, we have family, we have friends, we have neighbors, we have acquaintances, we have colleagues, we have partners, like, in terms of maybe club activities or certain societies we exist as a part of. We have community members, we have business transactional collaborations or partnerships that we have. And I feel like it's very different from colleagues. Like, we have so many types of relationships, you know? And so in doing that and in realizing that and in being able to compartmentalize certain people I have in my life, I realized, honestly, at what cost will I... Honestly, the way I choose who I'm with is I ask myself, at what cost? So for family, honestly, I can take up higher sacrifice. I can be more vulnerable. I can share my burdens more freely. And honestly, it's very costly to do that. Because if you've ever tried opening up to someone, I'm sure you can understand that it hurts like a motherfucker. But at the same time, there are some people who I look at, and as I'm looking at them, I'm just like, at what cost, you know? And no shade to them, like, they're amazing people, but maybe they're just not supposed to serve the same purpose of as a family member in my life. And I say this to say that even family can become friend, neighbor, colleague. And so with that sense of understanding, I've just been asking myself, what level of energy do I need for certain interactions? Because honestly, I can't be with everyone in my life, and they can't all be with, like, we need to all understand how much energy we have and how, where we want to spend it, you know? And so that leads me to the next thing, which is money, you know? With money, what can we actually afford? And with money, what can we choose to sacrifice on because we want to pick another thing? When I say at what cost with money, I think it's very evident. Like, right now we're at a point in our lives where eating today or using an Uber today comes at the cost of something else tomorrow or another time. And so is it really necessary? Is it really worth it? I think that's that's the essence. What is actually worth it? You know? And I think the sooner you make that distinction, the more important. And I just wanted to talk about it because I feel like it's been something that's really going through my mind. Like, what is the value that something is providing to me? And for me to provide value to something, is the cost worth it? And do I even have the capacity to be in it? And I think this is how we often fall into the traps of making promises that we can't fulfill, because it's too costly for us to fulfill them. And I think this is also how we end up with situations which we are unfulfilled, be it socially, be it in terms of professional life, or be it even in terms of our emotional well-being. We are using very limited energy unlimitedly. You know, it's very fixed, my friend. And I think we realize that it's fixed when we start thinking about how, think back to your parents, or think back to your bosses, or think back to your mentors. There's been things they've had to sacrifice for them to be able to afford the specific opportunities they have, you know, for them to be able to afford the lifestyle they have right now. They have to forego another different type of lifestyle. And so, yeah, but also just on a more casual basis, sometimes I want to go out and I'm like, guy, At what cost? Will I now come suffer trying to have enjoyment? Will I now come? Eh? I come and experience agony for enjoyment. Like, I get the idea of sacrifice. I really do. And I'm a huge proponent of delayed gratification. But I think I'm also very quickly learning how important it is for us to be able to how do I say it? For us to be able to understand what we can actually offer, you know? And so that's the first thing. So we've reached a point where we have a commercial break, which is not really commercial because this is being sponsored by Just Life Experience. You're going to now listen to a stand-up by Lois Ogola, who is a comedian from South Africa, where he performed live at the Apollo, and I found this quite interesting. So here it is, and then after that we can get back into the conversation.
What's happening? What's happening? Here's the thing about you people, you don't greet. It's too late. I came out with a big smile and I greeted, you just looked at me like I owe you money. And it's a weird thing, because I'm African, I greet. That's what we do as Africans. You know, we just greet first. We're like, hello. You people freak out in the bus. I'm like, hello, everyone. Why is he talking to us? Like, you people call each other all kinds of things, like, without greeting. Aya wanka. What? There's no African that will call someone a wanker without greeting. Like, it's unheard of. Like, I would have to, you know what I mean? Like, as Africans, we greet first. Hello, how are you? How are the kids? How's work? And you'd be like, no, everything is good. Yeah, I said all of that just to call you a wanker, yes. There's no way I could just go straight into wanker without, I must let it build up a little bit, make you feel comfortable, then destroy you. I love it here, it's nice. When are you guys having another referendum? Ooh. Can't wait for the referendum. Because for me, the referendum was silly because you guys were trying to leave Europe. It's physically impossible for you guys to leave Europe. You are in Europe. Where are you going to go? Because you are not welcome in Africa. You are not welcome. You are not welcome. You are not welcome at all. Fool me once. The last referendum South Africa had was 1992. You know what was in question? Should apartheid end or should apartheid continue? But only white people were allowed to vote. White people are amazing. I love you guys. I love you. I think you guys need to be more transparent when it comes to foxes. I think you need to tell the world that you have foxes wandering your street. Like, don't let us just find out on the street while minding. I think it should be a thing that you talk about casually. We have the Queen, London Eye. Oh yeah, foxes for days, foxes. Because I was walking through Shoreditch High Street, right? Shoreditch High Street, first world London. What did I see? Fox, but not a fox running away from traffic. The most confident fox I've ever seen in my life. This fox was investigating a crime. Like, that's how confident. You know when the fox is like, yeah. And so now I'm rolling with my friends, and my friends are like, you know, I say to my friends, I have to acknowledge this idea of a fox, because the fox is here now, like the fox is there, it's a wild animal here now, and everyone is calm. See the way you are calm, everyone is calm. I'm the only one who's freaked out about this whole issue. So now I have to address the issue of a wild animal in first world London. So I said to my friends, hey, I don't know much, but I can tell you with confidence that that over there is not a dog. That's not a dog. It's not a dog. That over there, it's not a dog, that thing there. Then he says, my friends say, oh, Luiso, that's a fox. We've got tons of those. Yeah, tell us before we come. Tell us. And he looked at me and said, oh, you from South Africa, yeah? You should be used to wild animals. Then another one, a friend of mine was like, oh, that's a bit racist. I said, no, it's not. I'm from Africa, we have animals. You people travel to see animals. What's so racist about that? Then I realized you guys as Britain have fucked up so much in the world that your racism is like you have another level of racism. Like we have like, you know, like your the racism you guys discuss and talk about is like that nuanced, is it? I grew up during apartheid South Africa. Our racism was very, very clear. You know what I mean? It wasn't like subtle, there's a gray area. It's like, why can't we go to the beach? Because there's a sign that says no blacks allowed. I don't understand. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Very straightforward racism. I like it. Top of the range. Top shelf shit, man. Not this nonsense that I'm experiencing in London. Oh, I'm not Japanese. I'm from Taiwan. Blah, blah, blah. Listen, I'm... I don't live here. I'm confused. Leave me alone. I'm not used to that racism. I'm used to that top range stuff, man. And here's the thing. I don't know how to navigate myself through London because it's so multicultural. I don't know who's going to get offended. I don't know who's, you know, I just don't know, you know. But I did find that when it comes to gingers, it's open game. Anyone can, no one gives a shit. No one gives a shit. No one. No one cares about gingers. Like, you could kill a ginger. You know that, you could kill a ginger. And you'll get to the judge, you'll be like, what happened? I killed the ginger. Judge was like, yeah, but it's a ginger. I mean, what do they expect you to do? Not kill them, kill the ginger. Why would you not kill it? I went to Blackpool. It's a piece of shit. No, I'm joking. I was in Blackpool, right? And I was doing some shows in Blackpool, and there was a white woman cleaning my room, my hotel room. Now, you must understand, I grew up in apartheid South Africa. I grew up in a very unequal society. So this, for me, was never experienced this in my life. There was a white woman cleaning my... Oh, I was throwing shit on the floor while she was cleaning. She was confused. Why would you do that? I said, I don't know how long this is going to last. I don't know if this is ever going to happen again. I'm trying to make it last as long as possible. Sorry. I was taking pictures. Click. Sending it to the family WhatsApp group. Everyone's like, you are doing well, my boy. You are doing very well. You guys have been a cool crowd. I really enjoyed chatting to you people. So thank you very much for listening to my bullshit. Good night. Thank you very much.
And then that, in terms of a casual basis, if I may ask, Chris, what are some things for you which you're just like, no. No, at what cost? Nah. At never at any cost will you ever do those things. Apart from general human rights violations. Are there, like, weird things for you which you're just like, nah, bruh?
I love having people in my place and stuff like that. Please translate what I'm saying, because I think you understand where I'm trying to go, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to guests, I love having guests, and I love having them stay over and things like that. But I've had situations where guests like my bed. Literally, they're like, I love your bed so much more than mine. I might just
spend the night. And I had to find ways
to tell them very nicely, please. You know? And so for me, that's one, for instance. Like, at what... I think the cost here, if we were to, like, strike a balance between one thing or another, it would be having people around versus feeling comfortable in my space. Does that make any sense?
It does.
Like, I'm not speaking to you, right? But, like, I love you. Like, I love this guest. I love having you around. But then at what cost? In that I cannot have you stay for a week.
So for you, personal space is
very, very, very important. That's why when I'm around other people in other people's spaces, I am so
quick to like mind your business.
Mind my business and fuck off. Sorry.
Yeah. No, you can curse.
Yeah, like I'm so quick to because I don't want someone to, because I've had so many people do it to me, when it's not just for a stay for a couple of days. And these people, you know how you're talking about family and friends, these people are acquaintances. And they're...
Yeah, so you're giving private access to public people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so I still haven't figured out a way to be okay for me to say to these people, yo, like a lot of times I have to go to certain, like I have to almost switch the truth to let them know, because I can't tell someone, yo, I don't feel comfortable with you being in my space personally at this point.
Okay, that's actually something, because I think a lot of people know what their boundaries are and they know what makes them feel uncomfortable. But I think, I'm sure even with you listening and watching, I'm sure you can agree it's very difficult to actually communicate that someone is using too much energy or to even try and change your life. Because if you know, okay, I have this job and I love it or I don't love it, regardless, maybe I have to navigate to, I have to like journey 2 hours to and for work every single day. So obviously at that point you're asking yourself at what cost, and the bigger problem usually is how do you now change it. And so with people, it's how do you communicate it. So what do you do
situations where I had to deal with this? And I'm thinking of one situation that really annoyed me, because the person stayed so, and it was during COVID, and this person was coming from a state where COVID was having the most fun. So the person comes and the person stays for a while. So I speak to my mom, and my mom is like, just tell them. And it was very, very hard for me to tell the person. So eventually I told the person, hey, I won't be staying at my place. So
none of us can stay here.
And I actually made sure that night I stayed at somebody else's place.
Yeah.
Just so that...
You can be able to, like, so get everyone out.
So we packed our stuff and left my place. And again, like, I could have just asked the person to leave, but I could not.
You guys, it's actually very difficult to place that barrier.
For me, the best case scenario would be to just have people who understand that there is a time where it's time for you to leave, without, like, I would rather leave so much earlier than expected than leave so much later, even if those people are like really close to me, because I just don't want to inconvenience anybody the way I wouldn't like to be inconvenienced. So I guess my best case scenario would be to trust that people have that same mentality. But then if they don't, then it becomes very difficult. And I don't think we're taught how to say no to things very, very easily. Because I think the whole at what cost idea comes with also saying no to things. You know, like, no, I won't take the Uber today. No, I won't give my time to this person today.
Yeah.
No, I won't. So yeah, I hope that's a good... I know you asked for three, but that's the one thing that popped in my mind.
I feel you. I think Chris here can definitely act as a good example of what we all go through, you know? It's very difficult, honestly. For me, I've found it that, okay, this is... I'm going to be very honest right now. Anytime I feel like something is so costly, but I don't speak up, I end up being very bitter and resentful. And if it's a person or a specific like space where maybe I have to interact with people, I think that manifests in passive aggressive behavior. And Chrissia knows I hate passive aggressive. I hate it, because I've been raised in a place where, okay, even if you sugarcoat that statement, say it though, but don't sit on it for too long. And I struggle with it because I think it's human nature. Hey, they are going. But I think it's human nature for us to want to conceal what we really feel just for the sake of harmony, you know? The thing I'm learning right now in my life is anything you postpone now will always come and bite you in the foot later. And so if you know that it's a personal cost for your own like health, for your own well-being or something, me, I feel it will come back. And I know it's difficult, I know. I know it's very painful to be able to be like, you know what, this job is literally screwing me over. I can't move on. I'm done with this. I hate my boss. When they walk, when they even breathe, it's a deal breaker for me. It's a red flag. Like, for me, I think when such things happen, I know it's very difficult, especially if you feel like you depend on the thing that's costing you so much. But I think the only way to navigate that is to create alternatives, you know? Again, from that economic point of view, is for you to be able to forgo one thing, you have to have an alternative to replace it. And so for you to be able to be like, oh my God, I hate this job, I hate this school, I hate this career, I hate this maybe person, I think you need to be able to ask yourself, okay, but what's my alternative? And yes, it's painful. And I feel like it's honestly one of the hardest things we go through as human beings. But I feel like it's worth it, you know. That now, that one is worth it. Because I'd rather go through the pain of trying to find out what works for me rather than the pain from the discomfort in being in something that doesn't work for me. And of course, I think we all know, it's a very difficult thing to try and achieve. Because in one way or the other, we all have to settle in some ways. And in one way or the other, we all have to sacrifice. And being able to take some bullshit right now because you're trying to achieve a bigger, you know, much more fulfilling thing, I think that's one. But when you know dead ass you're just suffering, man. You know, I wish I could say, oh, don't do it. But it's hard to, it's really hard to step away from a situation and be like, okay, I'm done with this. It's too costly to my well-being. This is a deal breaker for me as a human. I'm done. Deuces. What? No, it's actually very difficult. So I guess maybe the awareness that some things are just too costly, I think that's a start. And how I feel right now is like with Chris, you know, with the situation of personal space. And for me, I think it's mostly with people. My interaction with someone I love, if it's too costly, even if I know they're my heart, I feel so sad because I'm just like, wow. You know, it's like when you're given a gift from your best human, but that gift, honestly, my G, it has substantial improvement areas. And you're just there. Just gallivanting. You're taking a bullet. You're taking one for the team of one, which is you. Man, that's a very difficult place to be in. So I guess the only thing that I can take away from this reflection or conversation with Chris is that maybe knowing what your priorities are so that at least you know when they are being misguided or misinterpreted or when they are being eroded, when you know that your priorities are being...
I was gonna say, knowing and then also maybe communicating them very early on rather than much later. Because in a lot of those situations, I think the reason why it's hard is because these people don't... Okay, the situation of space. The person, it was so hard for me to tell the person because the person didn't know
beforehand. But did you know beforehand? Because sometimes the problem is we find out in the moment.
Yeah, we find out in the moment, but in another instance where someone wants to stay with me, of course I'll say no. Of course I'll say yes.
You meant to say yes.
Yeah,
it's fine. We were here.
In another instance, when someone wants to stay over or come over, of course I'll say yes, and I'll make sure to add that somehow that I'm comfortable with them staying for a certain duration of time. It's so against my culture because back home, for instance, there's just a mutual agreement between the entire population that after 3 days, you're good to go.
How is that possible? Because where I come from, the mutual agreement is, are you family or not? If you're family, whether I stay 7 or 17 days is none of my business. It's the business of our ancestors. Why did they make us related?
I mean, of course, not. I mean, you're not going to let just anyone come over to your place. But if they do, and they're from that culture, there's a certain, I mean, I say 3 days in my city, but in other, or even just in my community, or even just in my family, whatever. But then in other places, they might stay for a week, 2 weeks. But then there's just that mutual agreement. When you live outside your culture, I think that's when there are a lot of opportunities for, I mean, when you lived in Kenya, how many times did you?
I don't go through this in Kenya.
Right?
No, the thing I go through in Kenya is not with people. Man, it's in systems. Remember when I was thrown out? You guys, it's a story. I was once kicked out of a matatu, which is a public transportation. And I had come back from the US. So I was feeling so happy. Ah, I'm going to go to a matatu, go back to my culture, you know. And then the conductor of the public transport had stopped me at a, like, before my bus station, essentially. And when I tried to speak up for myself in saying, no, you can't stop me here, and besides, I've paid for a longer distance, why are you stopping me here, man? The guy threw my change on the ground, and as I was on my way out of the bus to collect it, they drove off. So I think you can imagine how the whole time I was like, okay, I love my culture, but at what freaking cost, you know? Yeah, I think this whole question, it's there a lot. And I think what it does is it forces us to think about what we can tolerate and what we cannot. And I think the sooner you know what you can tolerate, the better. But the essence of this conversation is also to say that in doing all that, it's okay not to know how to tolerate something. And it's okay to also just persevere with something you low-key can't tolerate, because it's inevitable as human beings. And I think there's so many things we can't choose, but again, there are also so many things which, at least if we know that they bother us, then fine. But me, it's with people, because there's some interactions, man. I'm an extrovert, but after the pandemic, man, I actually think my personality is changing. Because after the pandemic, I'm just like, when I have certain interactions, I'm just like, this is why social distancing, you know? This is why 6 feet apart is very spiritual, you know? So I guess in conclusion, what I'm saying is, yes, it happens that we find things that just completely make us uncomfortable, and that we find that we cannot tolerate going forward. And it's also true that we don't know how to enact and how to enforce certain boundaries for us to be able to establish ways of navigating those situations. But I think the thing that's important is knowing at what cost. This is something for me that is very, very precious. So when something tries to bother this, I know very quickly to go at what cost. So I guess from there, it's safe to say that we need to know what our priorities are. And the problem is you learn in the moment, like with Chris here. And me in the matatu, I was just like, yeah, there's some things about my culture which I think I need to stop romanticizing, because it's low-key, just, please, how can you be a matatu? And if you guys knew how much change was thrown to the ground that I rushed to collect. 20 cents, 20 bob, please. 20 cents, American cents. Convert that to your currency so that you know what the cost of my dignity was. But anyway, that's all for today. I'm so glad you guys tuned into this episode. I'm very happy to do this. As you can tell from those guys watching, the camera quality is substantially, very spiritually lacking. But I actually really prefer using my laptop camera. There's just something about it where I feel like I can connect more with you. And so whether you are listening or watching or both or whatever, I hope you stay well, and I hope that that thing for at what cost that you've been asking yourself, I really hope that you find your solution. I hope you find the number that you can be able to say, this is how far I'm willing to go. Past that, no. And so with that, thank you so much for tuning into this episode. I hope that you stay well. Until next time, bye-bye. What?